right, here we go, hour number two. It's Jeff and Erica for our Wednesday edition. We do this three times a week, trying to cover for you and present to you the most logical, viable, important, real information about the greatest crime ever committed against humankind by, allegedly, other human beings. Of course, that's an interesting question for debate. Who really is involved with this at the highest level? Hard to know. We know who the primary pushers are. Just look at the people, look at their names, and the big pharma companies, just to understand who's doing it, who's hands-on pushing this horrible lie of mass death and suffering. And there are many people out there who have taken one or two shots, and they're still alive. They didn't die within 2 weeks or whatever, but they feel like hell. They feel awful. It's not a quality of life that they can be happy with in any respect. And these people are getting worse. They're not getting better. We sort of call it percolating. Things are growing in them, like clots, like major organ failure, like brain damage from prions and spike proteins and microclotting in the brain, which kills off little lights in the heavens go out at night. A little one here, a little one there. And over time, this adds up. And I have heard numerous people tell me personally that their friends, people they know, they're not the same after getting injected. They're nasty. They're confrontational. They're rude. They have no longer any evidence of a sense of humor about life or much of anything. No one's happy. So this thing is doing a lot of damage to people on many, many different platforms that we have tried to cover at one point or another for you. All right, I'm going to send the two butlers to the 14th century oak twin front doors. We're going to pull them open and see if she's standing out there ready to walk in and participate. Creak, creak, groan, groan. There she is. Welcome. Come on down.
Why, thank you.
Don't
nice
forget to tip
here.
The butlers. Tip the butlers. Come on, tip the butlers.
Of course, of course.
All right, all right. So here we are again, and we started this out piecing together what apparently the primary front line of damage was to people, and we found out fairly quickly it was about blood. That was Erica's thing. Blood. It's destroying the blood. It's an attack on the circulation, the blood components, the blood products. It is destructive of the body's immunological competence. Now, that was a great opening because it went from there to hell on earth, and it's absolutely horrific now. We went through that, and Nurse Anne was on. And tell us more about the blood in general, what happens to it. Then we're going to go look at the video. This is really awful. It's just awful. And the one thing I do remember, let me quickly put this in, Nurse Anne validated everything we said, that the blood of the vaxxed is invariably radically changed, not only in color, but in consistency, functionality, you name it. The blood has been savagely attacked.
Yeah, many, many people have observed that now in the healthcare profession, and those that do live blood analysis, it's striking how sick the blood is. It really is flabbergasting that people can be walking around with their blood in such a poor state. Thick, viscous, many times dark in color, meaning it's been oxidized, so it's not able to take on more oxygen.
Sludge.
Yeah, it's like sludge, and it's really striking. And I, in the past week or so, I've started to see more people looking very, very pale, almost deathly pale. And all I can think of is, it's catching up to them. I think, the question always comes up, how can these people be walking around having taken 3, 4, 5, 6 injections now, and they appear to be doing fine? I maintain that some of these degenerative conditions can take some time before they manifest overtly. And one of those conditions is the inflammation in the endothelium, which is one of the first stages.
Tell everyone what is the endothelium for those newcomers to the program.
That is a lining of your blood vessels that is one cell thick. And it's very delicate, and it's very susceptible to damage. And when it gets damaged, well, it will start the clotting process. And it can lay down plaque and cholesterol and other things if it can't restore it to normalcy. And many times, under normal physiological conditions, vitamin C would maintain the integrity mm-hmm. of the blood vessels. But I think, you know, we're now dealing with something that is doing damage way faster than it can be repaired, way faster. And so I do believe that based on many of the symptoms that we're seeing, that there, the endothelium is damaged, which is compromising the ability of the tissues to be properly oxygenated. So you're getting a wide variety of different symptoms due to that poor oxygenation, depending on what tissue is being affected at any given moment. And then the components in the blood itself are not healthy. The hemoglobin, we don't even know if that's formed properly. The iron may be floating free, and the person may also have anemia at the same time. When the body's in a state of inflammation, it will sequester the iron. It will start hiding it in the liver and the white blood cells to start, but then other organs and tissues can become loaded with iron too, because the body's trying to keep the iron away from the invading pathogen. Whether it's bacteria or viral or fungal, most pathogens need iron to replicate, as do cancer cells. So when you're sequestering iron in tissues, you are actually setting the stage for cancer. And iron participates in cancer in every stage, initiation, promotion, and progression, all three stages.
So all the people who are taking iron supplementation had better listen very carefully to this. You don't need it.
No, that's the thing. You accumulate iron throughout life. Men tend to accumulate it faster than women because, well, they don't menstruate, at least if they're a biological woman. And once it's in the system, the only way to get rid of it is through bloodletting. And so meat eaters, particularly red meat eaters, are the, you know, you've got a lot of iron. By the time you're middle-aged, and they would even say males in their 20s, have reached a threshold of what would be a healthy level. And beyond that, it becomes pathological. And then if you have a gene like that for hemochromatosis, which causes iron overloading, it causes you to absorb too much iron from the diet, then you're really in trouble. I think most people are overlooking the iron. I mean, we got onto the iron, what was it, 2 years ago now, a little over two
yes.
years ago, through the yes. topic of the SPIONs, superparamagnetic mm-hmm. iron oxide nanoparticles, and we were quickly diverted from that to the topic of graphene, and ever since it's been graphene. I think what people are overlooking is the potential for iron to be surreptitiously added to various food items as a preservative, but it's also used
all over the place. You're right.
It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then if it's a nanoparticle, it doesn't need any carrier protein. It just goes right in. I mean, normally the absorption of iron is regulated through proteins. If it's in the nano form, you don't need a carrier. You don't need a transporter. So while everybody's been distracted with graphene, which the body can deal with, the body can get rid of graphene. The body cannot get rid of iron. And when you have a lot of iron, you are going to have a lot of oxidative stress. And for sure, we're seeing that now, particularly when we have these injuries of ischemia where tissue is being starved of oxygen. And then if the blood supply or oxygen supply is restored, you get a flood of oxygen and a storm of free radicals at the same time.
Inflammation.
And if iron is present, the types of free radicals that are formed are exceptionally dangerous. It's called the hydroxyl radical, and that will damage everything in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the blood is under attack. The vessels are under attack.
The idea you mentioned, and it's very important, oxidative stress. That's think of it as inflammation. Oxygen is essential for life. Oxygen, though, in the wrong format, in the wrong amount, the wrong location, the wrong delivery, can do damage. It can oxidate, rust, destroy tissue. Oxidative
stress.
Well,
think of it as burning. It's a form of burning.
Mm-hmm.
And now don't forget, we've had that report from Japan, the autopsy report from Japan. That wasn't an autopsy. It was a coroner who was reporting that the bodies of the deceased who had died after the vax, they were still warm.
A day later or something?
Quite a long time. Was it a day, 36 hours or something? That just gives you some idea of the inflammation and hence oxidative stress that's happening in these bodies. To be able to maintain that temperature, even after the blood has stopped flowing, that's
a
body that's cooking.
Are walking around cooking, right?
Yeah,
when we say
yeah.
percolating, that's inclusive of that concept. The body is actually being cooked.
That's right.
And so you get major organ involvement, you get major organ failures, you get all kinds of compromised normal natural body functions that are just history. They're gone. And when you look at the blood, and we've had Nurse Anne tell us, she's a professional for over 35 years, works in a huge hospital, and has in her entire life drawn blood samples from tens of thousands of people. And since the vax has come out and the blood has become sludge, she's described on this program many times about how the withdrawal process doesn't work. The blood actually clots in the syringe or needle.
Mm.
And when it's taken down to the lab, the lab techs say, go get me another one. I can't spin this blood. It's like jello. It's a joke. And then you start to think, well, wait a minute. If the blood is like jello or jelly, gelatin, sludge, how does the heart propel it through the body? And the answer to that is, in many cases, it can't. And you have a heart attack and you die. In other cases, the body can do workarounds. I don't know how it does it, but it does, and you can get along. And you don't necessarily feel bad. You can't feel good, but you don't necessarily feel like you're going to die, although you're at death's door. Your blood cannot serve your body in the state it's in. We're going to see something in a few minutes about this. It's a very complicated issue, and yet very simple. If the blood is no longer of the viscosity needed to navigate through the heart, through the arteries, and then on the return trip through the veins, and all points in between, you aren't going to make it. I take no delight in saying that. When you see
I don't know. Anybody that's come up with a fix for this. I mean, I know of vaccine-injured patients, one in particular that's on the triple therapy now, which is actually quadruple, I would say, and it's okay, it's manageable. I wouldn't say it's ideal by any means, but that involves, I believe it's aspirin, an antiplatelet, probably the Plavix, clopidogrel, and then a direct oral anticoagulant like Eliquis, and then natokinase.
And you'd probably want to add in there, stay very well hydrated with good, clean fluids.
Yeah.
It's
and then this whole bit about fasting, you know, I have reports now of, and, you know, these, bear in mind, these people are very, very desperate to get well, these vax-injured people. There are some people out there, I haven't seen a human being more motivated than some of these people. And at least one of them that I'm acquainted with has done a extended fast. And I'm talking 21, 30 days, probably 21 days. Might have been 25. And felt great and got through it. I you know, really, that's mind-blowing. But that's how motivated they were. And things seemed to improve for a short period of time, a week maybe, and then everything's back to the way it was before.
Right. Back to percolation.
Yeah, and at one point, there was one in particular that it was a woman that she did it, and you know, felt better, thought she was recovered, but then ended up developing I want to say it was a psychiatric condition, just had a mental breakdown.
Was she injected or not?
Yes. This is injected. And is now on benzos to deal with the chronic anxiety.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many lives have been ruined by this thing. Young lives.
Been the point. Yes, they are in trouble, and their lives have been ruined. And I don't know how else to phrase it. Don't know. Not a good situation.
No.
Okay. Let's go to... now, we haven't even talked about Rouleau, how blood cells lose their electromagnetic potential and they begin to agglutinate, stick together. You've seen those pictures before, I'm sure, many times. But if you go to Guess and look under our names, you'll see a large paragraph. And it says, I'd like all of you to go look at this with us. Shocker. Fully vaxxed man comes home from surgery, sees his wound open up, and spew huge clots. How can the human heart and body function with this kind of destroyed sludge blood filling the bloodstream? So click on that and bring this video up. I'll give you 20 seconds, and then we're going to look at this. This is really repulsive, horrible, but absolutely according to the new norm of the vaxxed blood, as observed by umpteen professionals, live blood analysts, Nurse Anne, I mean, just on and on. If you've been shot up, and even one will do it, apparently, you don't need five or six, your blood will look like this. And we've seen the draw bags of people who have had blood drawn, and the vax is very dark burgundy, almost black, and the other blood is red and healthy looking. You've seen this many times. We've shown this before. All right, hopefully everyone's on this video. We're going to get ready to start it now. We don't know. That looks like someone's leg, on the side of a leg, perhaps. Maybe the right leg. I'm not sure, but...
That's hard to tell. It could be an arm.
They went in there to do something. That looks like a calf muscle the more I look at it on the right. But
probably to remove a clot.
I would say. It's exactly what I was going to say. Look to the left of the picture and you'll see discoloration, bruising, microclotting. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, go. Now watch carefully. This thing just bursts open on its own. It's horrible. That is the color of his blood. That's a soft clotting process you're seeing, and it's gathered all around the surgical incision, and the body is just pushing it out. That is really awful, and sorry if anyone's offended, but that's the truth. We've seen clottish material like this come out of the vaxxed from their nose, as an example.
Yep.
When they had access to it, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So this poor guy, that's what his blood looks like, basically. That's certainly, I would say, more coagulated than what's still able to get around the plumbing system. But imagine this kind of thing that your heart has to deal with. And it's no wonder that people are terribly fatigued, tired. Their hearts hurt. They have pericarditis, myocarditis, and they have blood like this. I don't see how a human being can last very long at all with blood like this. And the point of the issue is that many aren't. They're just dying. They're falling over from clots like this in the brain stem, wherever. And the damage to your autonomic nervous system is another adjunct to this. That tells your heart to beat and tells you to breathe and so forth. These are all being impinged upon and damaged. Anything you want to add to this horrible video? And it's for real. He didn't open that up. It just popped open.
Yeah,
that's how much pressure was in there. You can see the sutures.
When I look, I'm just thinking of all the organs and tissues that are just crying for oxygen. You know, building up CO2, and they were waiting for oxygen, and they can't get it. There's no way that is properly oxygenating a body. And as a result, that right there is setting the stage for cancer.
For sure.
That hypoxic environment. And there's no exchange of you know, waste versus nutrients. It's just
no
fermentation.
The one-way ticket to a short run on a long railroad. This is something I hope you don't forget. This is very emblematic of the problem we've been talking about when we say sludge blood. This is what we're talking about. This was emitted by the body inside the surgical venue, and it actually burst its way out. And now you know
Incredible.
Why when blood is drawn in professional settings and taken to a lab, that in many cases from the vaxxed, it's already clotted by the time the runner or the nurse or whomever can get it to the lab. And the lab techs say, go get another one. And in many cases, they're not going to do any better than the first one. This blood is actually clotting on the way out of the body into the collection tube by the drawing nurse. This is really horrific. So when you see people out and about, understand that in this country, I don't know how it is in yours, but around 80% of the people here have tragically been lied to and coerced into taking these shots, whether it be government, business, or peer pressure. They've been forced to do it. It's not their fault. This was designed to do exactly as it is done. These people don't feel well. They're walking and they're still talking, but this is going on inside of them. Now, we haven't talked about turbo cancers. We haven't talked about major organ failures who get dosed with this kind of thick blood that can't do much, can't deliver anything, as Erica said, can't retrieve waste and remove it. It's useless. It's garbage. And yet these people somehow are still, it's a testimonial to the magnificence of the design of this body. And you
it really is.
Must take care of it. And how can you take care of it when you're being literally given an injection that will kill you? This is a bioweapon. Don't ever let anyone use the word vaccine on you. It's a lie. We know that now.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything else on this?
I'm going to be very interested to see when, if they roll out these boosters, these XBB boosters that are,
they're
well,
on the way.
Moderna's already applied for their authorization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Pfizer will be soon to follow.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything,
go ahead.
All other vaccines are going in this direction, where it's going to be mRNA, in which instructs your body to produce a foreign protein. And now we're even seeing that whatever's being produced after being injected with this particular, this so-called COVID vaccine, it's not even matching up the spike to the spike protein. It's fragments of spike. It's misfolded spike.
Right, right.
And then, you know, certain other mystery ingredients, mystery proteins that we have no idea what they're doing in the body. And that could explain, would explain, the different types of reactions people are having. Some aren't having any reactions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would like to think that some people got a defective batch. We're not really big on the placebo idea here. We don't have any proof that there were placebos given to any significant degree. We do suspect that a number of batches of the vaccine were improperly conveyed, stored, et cetera, and that they had lost whatever they had, and they may have been pretty much dead by the time they were injected. And if somebody got just one of those, you know, you might have a chance. But if you got a competent, and I use the term advisedly, a competent injection of this horror, you've got problems. And I don't like saying that. And there's no detox that's going to reverse it. It's not that kind of a bioweapon. Sorry. And the mRNA thing is really important. When people say mRNA and this or that and other vaccines, it's not to say that it's going to be the COVID mRNA instructions, but some other instructional technology built into the mRNA. It'll build that mRNA to do God knows what, to produce what. I don't know. We don't know. As she just said, it's important. There are things that have been identified in these bioweapons that they're not identified. We don't know what they are. They're
right.
Proteins. There's one bigger than the spike. We don't know what it does. Pfizer
right.
Put it in there. What the hell is it? So.
Well, now, you know, they're just designer proteins. We don't have any idea what they do, how they interact with a biological system.
No.
Are they toxic or not?
No idea. I think
the funny thing is that it's not funny, but just to see the investment in building the facilities that are going to manufacture these things, they're at full bore ahead.
Right.
As if this is a legitimate technology that's going to fly.
What Erica said a long time ago, no more needles. All right? In your life, just say, no, I'm not going to have any needles poked into me. No more. And that's probably your safest route to follow. No more needles.
Well, the FDA is lost. They're not protecting the people. They're not advocating for the people.
No, not at all.
They're completely compromised. So anything can be adulterated now.
And is being adulterated. And they don't even need to run any kind of honest testing anymore. They don't do it. They do what they want. Weren't they given that in a semi-formal declaration by the FDA that they could certify their own products to be safe, these big pharma companies?
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have a government that's out to protect us at all. You know that. You wouldn't be listening to this program. The latest on the grapevine of idiocy is that there are now reports, I kid you not, that allegedly, you know what glyphosate is. That's the active ingredient in Roundup that kills plants, broadleafs primarily. It's a weed killer. They often use it in agriculture. That's their primary use. In fact, they deploy it, and they'll spray rows of crops, and you look at those beautiful plants. There's no weeds growing, nothing. Well, that's because they've been absolutely dosed over and over again with glyphosate, Roundup. It's a toxic herbicide. So that's the deal. And what is supposedly happening now, get this one. They are putting venom in the glyphosate. I asked to God, had someone tell me this. They're putting it in glyphosate and spraying the world with toxic, deadly, it already is, glyphosate with snake venom in it, okay. Snail venom in it, spider venom in it, venom to the right of me, venom to the left of me. Look, this is nuts. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Science is screwed up already. This is absolutely unproven ridiculousness at the highest possible level, being promulgated by people who have no science to back it, who think you can see nanotechnology with a 100-power microscope. They're just out of the game. They're not even on the table, and they're pushing this stuff. So just keep that one in mind. You're going to hear more of it. Ever since that snake venom in the tap water lie was pushed, there have been efforts by certain people to rehabilitate their image by coming up with other ways to express their, well, I didn't really mean there was venom in the tap water. It's just peptides. Well, we found out that there are two or three peptides in the spike. What, there are seven locations? Are these all venom peptides?
Oh, no, those are the amyloidogenic ones.
Amyloid.
But no, there's three, I believe, that are three peptides in the spike that have some homology to venoms.
But they're not venoms. Understand that.
No, it's not venom.
All right. So anyhow, this is, the whole thing is absurd. I would
focus on that ACE2 receptor. That's the main target. And you have these ACE2 receptors all over your body. I mean, that it's responsible for controlling your blood pressure, among other things. But these are integral to the health of your vasculature. And that's what's being destroyed. When that spike binds to the ACE2 enzyme, ACE2 receptor, there's two. There's one that sits on the cell membrane, and then there's another one that's soluble that floats away in the bloodstream. That enzyme is critical for maintaining your blood pressure, your fluid balance, your electrolyte balance. And then if that malfunctions, your blood vessels are not going to be responding the way they should when it's time to expand, when it's time to contract. And then having that protein sticking out of the vessel wall will start the clotting process.
Bad news.
Yeah.
All the way around. All right, we have another a preprint of a peer-reviewed paper that is out. We want to mention
not,
that.
Not yet. It's just a preprint. It will probably never see the light of day, but it was
you
just published
mention,
today.
Do you want to talk about it at all?
Yeah. We finally have, this is courtesy of primarily Peter McCullough was the lead author on this, but there's a whole bunch of names on it. Roger Hodgkinson, William Mackis, Harvey Riesch, Nicholas Holscher. Let's see, who else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Mark Croce.
First link under our name will take you to this, a systematic review of autopsy findings and deaths after the COVID bioweapon injection.
So they set out to try to determine from autopsy reports how many of them could be linked to the vax. And I think the final number was 3, let's see. They looked at 678 autopsies.
Uh-huh.
And were able to include 325 of those and then look at those to see if they were correlated could be correlated directly with the death of the person. And I think they said 73% of the time they could blame the vax for this person's demise.
73.9, exactly.
And they did say that the most implicated organ in the COVID-19 vaccine-associated death was the cardiovascular system, followed by the hematological system. So again, we have vessels and blood.
All right. Now, something else. Did you have one other thing that we wanted to mention? I can't remember.
Oh, well, since we're on the topic of blood, I thought I should mention that there is a blood bank now that is devoted to matching up unvaxxed donors with those needing, wanting unvaxxed blood. And it was founded by a doctor, a fairly preeminent doctor, whose specialty is breast cancer. She's been around for quite some time. Kathleen Ruddy has taken or gone to great lengths to set this up. It's called RadiusHealthExchange.com. Mm-hmm. And she's done a few interviews in the last couple of months. You'll probably see or hear more of her, but you can find her on the various probably Rumble channels at this point, talking about the service. And there's quite a bit of privacy involved. You are protected. Your name's not going to be shared. Your information's not going to be shared. I don't know quite what the screening process is. Donors will not be charged any money to participate, and they will not be charged for whatever screenings they have to go through to qualify. The providers that want to participate in this program do pay a fee, and I'm not sure about the recipient, but she has said that it's off to a running start, and it's global. It's not just here in the U.S. So if that's something that you're faced with, this is one option to maybe try to ensure that you're going to get halfway decent blood.
Halfway decent. We don't know how decent.
Well, that's just it. I don't know what they're doing to screen for spike itself, since there doesn't appear to be, at this time, any commercially available screening test. Now, that may be different for somebody operating that kind of a business.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are tests that can detect spike. It just, they're not normally available to the general public. So that would be worth a call to find out, is it spike-free or just vax-free? Or
don't know. YouTube, I want to apologize. At the top of the homepage, the video of the Ukraine NATO-U.S. war against Russia, showing the front lines and videos, inserts, and all that. YouTube is beginning to ratchet down on that censorship. They've made it now an age-appropriate thing. You have to sign up to look at it. I'll see if there's a way around that. But I just did notice it was just posted within the last hour or so. So I apologize. And it's worth signing up to see so you can continue to track what's going on there. Otherwise, you're not going to see anything anywhere that I would really trust. This is a very good site, Military Summary. So if you need to, you can do a YouTube search for the Military Summary page, Military Summary channel, and the videos are right there. You can click, but I just did, and I see that the video is also sign in to confirm your age. So anything routed over YouTube now is being, it's not banned or blocked, but they're putting up barriers, unfortunately. I just saw this. I got some email on, so thank you for writing, you people who have written. Okay, let's go and look at some of the human suffering in this nightmare, which, again, is it's occurring geometrically. It's occurring everywhere. 83% approximately injected in this country. We'll assume that most of them got viable, operable vaccines, and they're struggling. Oh, by the way, the paramedics, and some of you are listening to Broadcastify and hearing your town's dispatches, and you're probably hearing the same thing that we get. And that's a lot of very busy EMTs, a lot of calls. What's the latest? Is there a trend on the ledger we should talk about?
Well, there's still a lot of falls. And again, within the last 2 weeks, I would say it seemed to be for younger people, 30s, 40s, 50s, whereas before it was 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's distinctly trending towards a younger population now. And it's falls, it's seizures, chest pain, possible stroke, unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple couple at the beach. I think one guy was almost drowning. Older fellow. And mm-hmm. I think there were three within the span of an hour at the beach one day.
I think I remember that day. It was odd.
You know, granted, it's tourist season, so, we have
shark
lots of visitors.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go and look at our compilation here. I have to pull it up. Yeah, we can see what's happening here. June 30, June 28, a whole lot of things. See if there's any. Shedding is real, and the June 30th. We didn't do those. Interferon response, is that one we wanted to do?
I don't think so.
Okay. Smells. The smells are getting more play again. They're kind of coming back. People are wondering why some can smell it, why some can't. We've taken a stab at explaining that concept. And one way to think about it is, if you have a dog, your dog can smell about 50,000 times better than you can. We think there are differences in people, genetic differences, which allow them to smell more distinctly than others, and that may be part of the reason why some cannot smell these smells. And I have smelled them three times, and they are not pleasant, and they are unmistakable. So I don't go out much, so I don't know. All right.
Yeah, the name of the term for a heightened sense of smell is mm-hmm. called hyperosmia.
mm-hmm.
And just go to Wikipedia and look it up, and there are... It will explain that there are genetic differences in people's ability to smell certain odors. In fact, there was one that had the smell of, what was it? It's called isovaleric acid. And so there's a genetic mutation that allows some people to detect that smell, and it's extremely offensive.
Huh.
It's kind of like bad foot odor. And so if you're lucky enough to have that mutation and that happens to be something that these people are emitting, and it is a bacterial
sure.
or fungal metabolite, you'll be bowled over by that. There's no question. And then
I've
there's other odors having to do with the male hormones, the androstenones, and some people can smell those while others can't. Some people find them offensive, others don't. So there's some genetic variability in what you're able to smell, and then there's a threshold level. Some people have to have a certain amount of it before they can smell it.
Got it. All right. Well, if you do smell it, it's a sign to change your physical location quickly. It's a warning. Whoever's
yeah.
throwing that smell off is not somebody you want to be standing next to in a line somewhere. All right. The first one is two shorties here. Is shedding real? And the person writes, I read a report yesterday explaining why the shedding, is not happening. I want to believe that. I must continue to dig in to this assumption. And the response to that, I am a healthy 64-year-old. I was around my daughter and sister-in-law a week after their shots that I didn't know they got. That was in April 2021. I started having heart arrhythmias and eventually had to have an ablation. I have zero heart disease. Doctors had no idea why this happened. I also had other things happen right away, so I'm pretty sure I was shed upon. And in response to that, Dr. Simon reported that he had heart problems after being around his jabbed friend. I'm sorry for your experience. So we spend a lot of time on shedding because it's kind of the the third act of this nightmare. They built it in. They knew people would shed, and they're shedding spike and mRNA and plasmids, which we've discussed at great length. All right, mm-hmm. You want to do the smells? Go ahead.
Okay. I don't smell it, but I see it. Well, that was the way it was for us last year. We didn't smell it, but people were starting to look funny, and I started feeling it in 2018 around people without the smell. I used to think it was mold, but no amount of cleaning made me feel better. And then I noted that when I was around large gatherings, I felt worse. Mm-hmm. I chalked it up to all the ventilation systems needed repair. But there were other times I entered the same building and I felt all right, and then a week later, sick again. Same within my house. I thought that was odd at the time because I didn't know yet. I also would smell a weak whiff of it very rarely then, but the reactions were off the charts. The smell became very apparent in February, but first very faint and got stronger and stronger, and now it smells like we are living in a morgue. Walmart and everywhere, there are many people that smell like hell. My daughters and husband always smell bad when they come home, and the cats too when they've been outside and it gets into the dryer vent. It smells all the time outside. It never goes away. The smell sticks to everything.
Go ahead.
Someone else says, can you smell rotten eggs? It's winter here in New South Wales, Australia, and the uptake of flu shots has been huge. Lately, I smell rotten eggs and unpleasant smells wafting around, and it's really annoying me.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little quickie update on smells. Here's one on sex with the vaxxed. I don't want to be rude or cause any panic. I'm sorry to say, how do the unvaxxed have safe sex? Response to that is, I've been warning people about sex with vaxxed, and one person I know has insane long COVID symptoms now. Of course, quote, it's not the shedding, end quote, right? Most people can't resist sexual desires, and I know a lot of people will pay the price for sex with the vaxxed. And we've covered this at great length on the program as well. Especially women who are having sex with the vaxxed male. We know now that in many cases there is virtually no sperm left in that male. It has been replaced with spike protein. So during the act of physical procreation, they are dosing the woman with an enormous load of spike protein, which goes right into their internal reproductive organ tract, and you know the rest. So not a good idea to do that at all. And it's not just the act of sex. It's sharing any body fluids, kissing, sweat, you name it. You're picking it up.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Onward.
What date are you under?
Oh, the 30th. Go to the 28th okay. If you want. Doesn't matter.
Let's see. Oh, how about gastro issues here?
Or how long does the spike last on surfaces? That might be good.
I don't know where that is.
It is. June 28th, about 10, 12.
Okay.
Now.
Has there ever been a study on how long the spike protein lasts in the air and on clothes and appliances and... I don't know what the last word is. Actually, a great question. I wish I knew the answer. First answer, likely no, because there's no such virus and neither proteins from it.
Uh-oh.
The proteins claimed for being a virus are most likely just cellular responses against venom. All right, good luck with that. Next one. We have an Airbnb cabin that we rent out. I quit cleaning it after guests once the vaccines came out. We now hire out the cleaning. I can tell you with 100% certainty that if I walk into that cabin after jabbed guests leave, and it's been 4 days with all windows open, etc., for it to air out, I still feel it, even after the cleaning person has cleaned it. It stays on bedding, rugs, etc. for a long time.
Wow.
Who knows how long, but it shocks me every time.
Not good. All right, to finish this off, someone answers to that. I remember early on, they were saying that COVID stayed on surfaces for 3 days, assuming COVID meaning the spike. Anything I order sits for 3 days, and the shedding smell doesn't come from the package after that amount of time. So this person's reporting smelling from the actual package. One doctor said he doesn't think that they will even study shedding. How does that make you all feel? They're not even going to study it. Last response to that one, it does cling to clothing and does not seem to clear up depending on the amount of shedding scent that is available to be smelled. All right, so these are anecdotal things. We know that. It's not hard science, but they're indicators, and they're worth paying attention to. Anything you want to add?
Well, yeah, and when we're talking about proteins, some break down and some don't. But we do know with the spike protein, and they've done the experiment to show this, that those amyloidogenic sequences do not break down in the presence of UV light.
That's a tough ombre there. That's tough.
Yeah. And there are other proteins in nature that, well, the microcystins from blue-green algae, you cannot boil those away. You can't denature them through boiling them. All you do is concentrate them and make them more toxic.
Hmm.
No, those are liver toxic and neurotoxic.
It's not to say that all blue-green algae is bad. So we're just
No. They produce certain toxins at certain times under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you've got the wrong bloom...
Right.
Microcystins will be there.
Let me real quickly do a tiny bit of commercializing here. Number one, Allison C., probably the single most important thing I can think of to build your baseline immunological competence after it's been messed with. You need Allison C. One a day at least to keep yourself reasonably functional in terms of having a defensive immunology. Number two, the most important nutritional supplement in history, and I don't say this easily, is without question, in my view, BioSuperfood. Those little green capsules are astounding what they can do. So those two things, put them on your list. Give yourself every chance you can. If you've been shot up, they'll help. If you haven't been, they will help even more. Okay, that's all my little spiel. Thank you. Excellent job as always. We do our best, and I think we just put it out there, and people can make of it what they will. That's the only way journalism really works. We're not supposed to instruct people, just get them in the habit of thinking.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Thank you. Tip the butler on the way out. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We'll be back in just a minute.